I was wanting to look at John 18. Before we do that, let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and we're so thankful that you love us. And Lord, I pray that you would bless today. I pray for our time together as we remember your resurrection. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us fresh and anew. Give us new motivation. Refilling of your spirit to follow you and to do all that you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So in John 18, get my e-Bible out. These are always nice on your phone, especially when you're horseback. But Jesus, in John 18, you find in verse 1, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew of the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So, Jesus goes to the garden, which evidently was a familiar place for him because Judas knew where the place was at. Evidently, Jesus went there quite often. And so, as he did, he would spend time with the Father. He would spend time with his disciples. He would do training, discipling. Maybe even a retreat sometimes. You find in the Bible where Jesus got off to himself and spent time just with the Father. So evidently this was one of those places that he went to, and one of those places that he could find a quiet place. So hopefully you have that quiet place as well. So verse 4 it says, then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to him, or to them, whom do you seek? Now that verse 4 seems like it's just filling the gap, so to speak, but it's actually packed with a lot of valuable information. Notice what he said, Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him. You know what that just has described is that Jesus had the same quality as God the Father. He had the ability to know all the things in the future that would happen to him. So God had that quality. God had that in his life. He knew, or in his repertoire, God could see all things. He knew all things. He was all powerful. And Jesus was identifying himself as having the same characteristics, the same ability. So that ought to be the first note to us, is that Jesus was God in the flesh. But he asked them, knowing what's going to happen, he asked them, whom do you seek? So Jesus, in John's gospel, Jesus went and he approached the accusers, and he asked them, whom do you seek? I don't think you're here today to crucify the Lord or anybody else, but maybe that's a good question. Whom do you seek? Why do you come to church? Why do you come to a sunrise service? Hopefully it's to meet the Lord, to spend time with the Lord. But some people have other intentions. They come because it's the thing to do, or they're expected to do it, or whatever. But whom do you seek? In your life, in your career, in your family, whom do you seek? Hopefully Jesus is that number one priority in your life. But he asked them, whom do you seek? Verse 5, they answered him and said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. You can pause there for a second. The second thing happens right here in this verse. Jesus used the very same identification for himself that God the Father used when identifying Himself to Moses. Now, you and I probably wouldn't catch that, but the Jews caught it. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying. He was claiming to be God. When He said, "I am He," that's the same word, the same phrasing that the Father used in Genesis when He's talking to Moses, and He said, Moses said, "Well, what is your name?" He said, "I am." So He used the same phrasing. So Jesus is claiming to be God. He is telling them that He is God. So He says again, let me read it, verse 5, "They answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am He. Judas, who betrayed Him, was standing with them." So Judas knew who Jesus was. It's kind of confusing to me when you think about it. Why wouldn't Judas know who Jesus was? And I was thinking about this, and I remembered one year when we were living in Uganda, there was somebody who died in our village. And so I went over to sit with the family for a minute. And when I got there, there's no electricity in this village. It's total darkness. All they had was a few little coal-burning lamps burning in the house. So I go in, and I'm sitting there. The dead body is laying in the living room floor, all wrapped up, and everyone's sitting around mourning. And I remember looking around the room, very little light at all, and I could not distinguish one person from the other. Everyone, all I could see was just kind of shadows and shapes. And so I think that's kind of the same thing that's happening here in the garden, is that Jesus is probably hard to identify because there's not much light. And so Judas would know Him, but without being able to see Him clearly, which could be a whole nother sermon. If you can't see Jesus clearly, then you're going to make a whole lot of mistakes. Amen? So anyways, Judas, who betrayed Him, was standing there. So verse 6, "When Jesus said to them, I am He, they drew back and fell to the ground." I don't know about you, I have read this over and over and over, and I've thought about it. And if I went to arrest somebody or to do harm to somebody, and they identified themselves, and whatever happened next knocked me to the ground, I think I would rethink what I was about to do. But evidently it didn't deter them. Now, Jesus has already identified Himself as God, knowing all things, what's going to happen in the future. He's used the same words as God used with Moses to identify Himself as God in the flesh. And now when they come and He identifies Himself to who He really is, they fell on the ground. So this is one instance where you see the power of God sweeping over people and knocking them to the ground. I think, and we're going to get into this just a moment, but God was trying to get their attention, to let them know who He is. The cross had to happen. Jesus had to be arrested. But there was other things that were going to take place here. And so He knocked them to the ground. It says, verse 7, "So He asked them again, whom do you seek?" They might be thinking twice about telling Him who they seek the second time. But they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." So He says, "Jesus answered, I told you that I am He. So if you seek Me, let these men go." So what is happening here is Jesus is trying to protect His disciples. Could you imagine? He has poured 3 years into their lives, molding and shaping. And while they're not where they ought to be at this point, they're still struggling with faith. They still don't understand. They still misunderstand a lot of things. He knew what was coming after Him. He knew the Holy Spirit was coming and would put all these things in place in their life and in their mind. And they would go forth like a wildfire and spread across the world. And you and I have the gospel today because Jesus protected them and they were able to go forth and preach the gospel. And it eventually got to us. It eventually came to America. But he was trying to protect them. So, and he says that. Look in verse 9. This was to fulfill the word that I had spoken. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. So Jesus tells them, he didn't lose any of them. So I want us to think about that for a moment. And first of all, it says, of those whom you gave me. So Jesus is talking about the Father giving these disciples to him. The Bible is clear in this. When you read in John 6 and verse 44, it tells us this. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. So the Bible is clear. If you have acquired salvation, it is because the Father has drew you to Jesus and he saved you, and then he makes a promise that he will raise you up on the last day. So in other words, salvation, if it is given to you, if it is granted to you by the Father, then you are safe in the hands of the Father. You're safe in the hands of Jesus all the way to the end, whether it's the end of your life or the end of the world, whichever comes first for you. You're safe. Well, he says there that he was protecting them so that he would have them in the end. He would be able to present them in the end. That's what he says here. He says, of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. Some people might argue, well, Judas was lost. Judas was, and Jesus talks about that in other verses, he was determined. He was a son of perdition. It was determined about him before Jesus ever called him. So he wasn't really with them to begin with. So have you ever thought about Jesus saving you, and not only saving you, but protecting you from the day of salvation and walking with you all the way to the end? There's a verse here in the Bible that many people memorize, and it's a very good verse to memorize, but it's Philippians 1:6, and it says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." So the Bible is clear that when you give your life to Jesus, not only do you receive salvation, forgiveness, you are adopted into the household of God, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and he will walk with you from that day forward all the way to the end. So that at the, whether it's the end of your life or the end of the world, that at that point he can present you to the Father. And he can say the same thing about you that we just read about the disciples. I have lost not one. I have lost not one. You realize Jesus went to the cross to pay for your sin and my sin, but he didn't stay in the grave. On Sunday, that's why we're here, to celebrate and remember the resurrection of the Lord, that he rose from the dead, and God was putting his exclamation point at the end of that, saying, I accept this sacrifice on your behalf. I receive what Jesus did on the cross on your behalf. He didn't sin, but they did, and he died for them, so I accept his offer of salvation. I accept his offer of grace into these people's lives. so that you can have the opportunity to come to know Him, to receive His grace, to be forgiven, to be saved. And not only that, He's going to walk with you from that day forward until your life ends, and He'll present you. I have lost not one. So you can be sound, you can be secure, you can know for certain that you're safe in the hands of God. Amen? Amen. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to talk to you about that. We'd love to pray with you about that. If you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and maybe you've had some doubts, and maybe you've wondered, don't doubt, don't wonder, because when you're in the hands of Jesus, you're safe, you're secure, and He will walk with you all the way through life. Matthew 28 tells us, verse 19, I believe it is, or verse 20, that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you all the way to the end. So He's not going to leave you. He's not going to abandon you. So today might be a good day of renewal for you. But if it's not a good day of renewal, maybe it's a good day of a fresh start, of trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. What we're going to do is we're going to have some breakfast over here. I can hear them over there working. And I want to pray with us. And I'll go ahead and pray for the food as well. If you would like to talk, if you need prayer, if you need help, there's an elder right here on the front row and another elder standing over there, and I'm sure there's another one right here in the middle. Go see them. I'll be around in a minute, and you can see me as well. We'd love to help you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love You, and we are so grateful for this day that You give us. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness to us. Not only do I thank You for salvation, but I thank You that You promised to walk with us from that day forward, to keep us, secure us, to make sure that the work You started is brought to completion. And Lord, we thank You for that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. I also lift up this food. Thank You for it. Thank You for those over there working. Pray that You'd bless them and bless us as we fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.